Hello, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Hope you're enjoying your short week here due to the Labor Day holiday. This is the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all year long. My name is Matt George from Sports 1140 KHDK. I have the pleasure of being your host. I'm an on-air host there and a multimedia journalist. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings here in the California capital. We are dealing with a weird schedule this week because of the Labor Day holiday. Normally, we're Monday, Wednesday, Friday during the off seasons. This week, we are Tuesday, Thursday. Because of that holiday, don't you worry, though. We will be returning to our normal Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule next week. And then in October, we're returning to our, at the start of the season, a podcast every single weekday. So you definitely have that to look forward to once the regular season comes back around. We've got to get that house cleaning out of the way. Also, I had many people ask me how they can enter themselves into the sweepstakes. We're going to be doing a NBA 2K giveaway here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I will let you know about that at the end of the show because I can't waste time right now because I have to get to this interview. I spoke with my good buddy, former co-worker of mine, Leo Biez from Cowbell Kingdom, one of the great blogs here in Sacramento that covers the Kings. It's been a while since we chatted with him. We chatted with him around draft day, so now we have to wait all the way to get all of his thoughts on draft day itself, on Marvin Bagley in the California Classic, Harry Giles in the California Classic, Summer League in general, free agency. We're going to talk about all of that, and then some. We even sneak a little Oakland A's talk right at the back end. We recorded this yesterday before the A's beat down of the New York Yankees, which was a lot of fun. He and I are both diehard A's fans, so any A's fans that listen to the podcast, that's a fun little nugget you're going to hear right at the very end. But it is mostly King stuff, and you're going to hear his and my feedback bouncing off of one each other for the next half an hour or so. So enjoy that. I'll come back on the other side, let you know about the NBA 2K sweepstakes. So here is my conversation with Cowbell Kingdom's Leo Biez. I'm coming up on my four-year anniversary at Sports 1140 KHDK, and during that time, I had the privilege of spending a little over a season working with the incredible crew at Cowbell Kingdom, one of the many phenomenal blogs here in the Sacramento area that cover the Sacramento Kings. And I've worked very closely with the man, the face, the editor-in-chief, really, of Cowbell Kingdom. It is Leo Biez. He is nice enough to come back and join me. We haven't chatted with each other since the beginning of the offseason. And I haven't seen this man since draft night, so I'm looking forward to chatting with him about everything that's really taken place since then. Leo, welcome back to Locked On Kings, my man. Hope you've been well.
I'm good, brother. Miss you, man. It's been way too long, and I can't wait to get back to the season. October is right around the corner. October 17th is literally a month away, and, you know, I'm ecstatic, bro. We have football, the Raiders, the A's are right there, basketball. It's the perfect time of year right now.
Yo, man, check this out. Like, it's crazy. I was having this conversation with a couple buddies of mine. Like, we think of the NBA season from the opening night to the end of the NBA Finals. So we think, okay, basketball ended at the end of May, at the beginning of June, and then you had the draft or draft lottery literally a week after. Then a couple weeks later was the draft, and then you had Summer League. So for teams like, I guess, the Golden State Warriors, who played all the way through, they're thinking, man, this offseason is short. We got to get back at it in only 3 months of a break. But for the teams like the Sacramento Kings, who haven't played literally since April, it just drags on. We literally haven't seen an actual regular season Sacramento Kings game since April, and we're entering October before the regular season will start. We did get the California Classic, which was nice ultimately overall, but it's just been a long time coming to get Kings basketball back in the Golden One Center. I'm glad you're just as excited as I am. I want to start with Luka Doncic because I know you were a big Luka Doncic guy. I know Cowbell Kingdom had great coverage on Luka even before the Kings found out that they were going to get the number two pick in the draft. You were disappointed, as well as so many others were, that the Kings didn't take Luka, but now we've gotten the chance to watch Bagley play in the California Classic and in Summer League, and I know you follow just his training regimen, and you're going to be hitting training camp hard here. Have your thoughts changed at all? What do you think of Marvin Bagley at this point in time?
At this point in time, disappointed. But again, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and just hope for the best because it was Summer League. He was barely getting acclimated to this new running gun offense and this new speed, this NBA speed and the strength of all of these players. He's not going up against the ACC guys that he was going up against anymore. Now he's going up against guys who are as strong or even stronger than him, and honestly, as athletic as him. So it's really an adjustment time for him, and I'm curious to see how he's going to approach that situation, knowing that he's no longer the best player on this team, and, you know, he's going to face guys that are better than him. So we're going to see how much of a true competitor he is, and, you know, we'll be there providing that content for all Kings fans.
You know, I know you're a big NBA 2K guy, a sports video game guy, as am I. NBA 2K released their ratings, it was leaked, the Kings starting five ratings, and Marvin Bagley's was on there. He's rated 78 overall, which is the same as De'Aaron Fox. And that really opened my eyes, funny enough, to the expectations of not just us here in Sacramento, but everybody else around the league, because he is the number two overall pick. If we watched him just based off of and judging him based off the California Classic, we'd think, okay, he's a rookie, he's got good upside, but it's going to take a little bit. But he is as highly rated in 2K and just in general in other people's eyes because he was the number two overall pick. That being said, do you expect and are you wanting immediate execution and performance from him right out of the gate, or are you willing to give him the 2-3 months of time to get acclimated and get used to it, and hopefully he'll end the season looking pretty good?
Well, those ratings don't mean nothing to me because I believe he was ranked higher than our boy Bogdanović. So that's just a joke to me, right?
Right. Yeah. Bogey was a 77.
Oh my God. So, you know, that tells you the story about NBA 2K and how the perceived notion of, you know, not just white Europeans, but just the lack of respect and acknowledgement of how really good this guy is, because Bogey's the best player on the Sacramento Kings currently. I mean, there's no debating that.
He was last year.
Right. And for him to be ranked lower than a guy who has yet to play a game is pretty eye-opening for sure.
But as for Marvin Bagley specifically, I just used 2K as an example. What are your expectations for him at the start of the regular season? I expect he will be starting, although we'll have to wait and see. We never know what Dave Yeager does with his rotations, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. But because he's the number two overall pick in the draft, are you expecting more from him at the start of the season than maybe you expected of De'Aaron Fox at the start last year because he was the number five pick?
No, and knowing Dave Yeager, I highly doubt Marvin Bagley will start the season, to be completely honest with you, bro. He's going to come off the bench, and I don't expect him to put up big numbers in the first half of the year unless someone gets hurt. I expect Harry Giles to play a much bigger role early on as well. I just think Harry Giles is just a better player right now.
Mm-hmm. So knowing Dave Yeager like you do, if you were to throw out just an off-the-cusp starting five for opening night against the Utah Jazz. I know we're a ways away from that and anything can happen in training camp, but as of right now, what would your five be?
Harry Giles and Willie Cauley-Stein as your power forward and center, or as your big men. And then Bogey, De'Aaron Fox. And then it just depends on what he wants to do with that other position. If he wants to start Justin Jackson or if he wants to go small and start Buddy. So I think training camp's going to be fun, Matt.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to dive into specifically all the position matchups here in just a second. But it seems, and I've talked to James Hamm about this and a number of others, and it seems the Kings have given all clear indication based off of what they've done in free agency, Leo, that they feel comfortable with running Bogey at the three. We didn't see it too much at the beginning of last year. Saw it more towards the end, especially down the stretch. You wanted your best players out there, so we saw a lot of Fox, Buddy, and Bogey at the 1, 2, and 3 spots. I know you're high on Bogdanović. I am too. What do you think about him playing in an everyday role at that 3 spot? Offensively, we know he can handle, and he's a great ball handler, but are there defensive liabilities and question marks there?
There are, but to be honest, if you're going to guard a top 10 small forward every night, you're going to get scored on, and it doesn't matter who you are. Even if you're the best defensive player in the NBA, which before he got injured was Andre Roberson from the Oklahoma City Thunder, and even he gets scored on like crazy. So when people say, oh, Bogey's going to get dogged, and I'm like, that doesn't really matter, because if he's producing and making everyone around him better, that's really what matters. And if right. The Kings are scoring at a high rate, you know, it's going to offset his defense. Just look at our best players in the NBA today. James Harden, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. These are all offensive, you know, oriented players. Russell Westbrook. Can he play defense? Sure, but their defensive ratings are not great because they triple down on offense, and that's what I hope that Dave Yeager can bring to the table this year and really accentuate all of his players' strengths, which is, you know, run and gun, fun brand of basketball, and just play and just triple down on offense, you know, because most of the guys on this team are not very good defensively. And if you know that, then you have to cater towards the personality of your team.
Right.
And I don't know if Dave is stubborn enough to, like, keep running his high post old offense. And if he does, then we're going to see a lot of Debo still. And that's not a good thing.
Yeah, so about Dave Yeager, I think this year is just as big of a year and as meaningful a year for him as it is really for anybody else. You mentioned all of his potential stubbornness, which I think is a good word, about playing Zeebo and playing his veterans and not necessarily giving the rookies and the young guys the run right out of the gate. I'm completely with you. I'm looking completely, from day one, I'm looking for fast tempo offense. I'm looking for transition. I'm looking for an offense that is looking to score a lot of points. And even if they give up a lot, they're giving you high of effort and intensity really for all 48 minutes. That being said, Leo, how much confidence do you personally have in head coach Dave Yeager? You get to interact with him, as do I and many, not necessarily on a daily basis, but a lot. So we know Dave Yeager, the coach, and we know Dave Yeager, the person. How confidence do you have in Yeager to really implement and change his systems?
Well, I love Dave Yeager, the person, and I love Dave Yeager, Memphis Dave Yeager. Well, the first 2 years, I wasn't as strict on him in terms of criticism. Last year, I felt that he could have done better in terms of decision-making and playing certain guys. Like, I thought Scout should have played a lot more, especially early on, even though Zeebo was producing points. But at the same time, he was getting dogged on defense, and I felt like Scout was, even though Scout isn't the best defender, he is a good weak side shot blocker. And I thought he brought that extra element. And, you know, giving him experience, a guy who was 21 years old, I'd much rather see that than Zeebo. But again, Zeebo is his guy, and, you know, that's the way he coaches. He wants guys to earn it. But at the same time, I'll flip it on him and say, how do we know Scout wasn't ready if he really never got a real chance, at least in my opinion? So do I trust Dave? I do, but we're definitely, and not just me, but the entire local media will have him on a short leash or leash this year.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. I know you've seen the pictures of the bearded and bulked up Scalabissier. I know you've always been high on Scal, and I have too. Great kid. Unfortunately, I think his window is all but closed here in Sacramento with the pickups of Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley and how much time I expect them to get next season. Where do you see Scalabissier fitting in with this team, or do you think he's likely on the outs and potentially could be good trade bait?
I've always said this. He has an incredible skill set offensively with some upside on defense. And sometimes, as like you said, he may not play his role here with the Kings, but that doesn't mean that he can't be productive somewhere else. It's all about scenery and the situation that you're in. And I think Scout didn't get the best of opportunities with the Kings, if in fact that does happen. But I can definitely see him tear it up and score 18 points and grab, you know, 8 to 9 boards on a different team in a better situation with better players around him. Even in a third big man role where he just comes off the bench and he just scores the ball, because he is that skilled offensively. And honestly, he's the best offensive big on the Kings right now till this day. And I know people may think I'm crazy, but offensively, talent-wise, there's no question about it. I mean, his game is just so smooth and silky that it's hard to even debate that.
The area of Scal's game that I've always been so high on is the intensity and the hustle that he plays with. Every time he's on the floor, whether it was defensively or offensively, he may be a liability at times defensively, but he'd always give you that effort. He'd try to rotate defensively. He'd block some shots, go up and crash for boards, even though at the time he was a little undersized. He may be has added enough weight to be able to crash and bang with the biggest guys in the paint now. We'll have to wait and see. But that hustle and intensity is something that we've wanted to see more out of Willie Cauley-Stein, who is in a big year himself with a contract year. I personally don't know if the Kings are going to offer him a contract beyond this season, even if he does have a good year. What are you looking for from Willie Cauley-Stein for the Kings at the five spot?
It's hard to say, bro. After you guys had him on the Grant Heber show with Doug Christie, I was listening to your podcast, and you did a great job in just explaining, you know, bit by bit and quote by quote. This guy is either going to be a star or a straight bust.
Yeah.
At least from hearing those comments, like, to me, they were so outlandish and just so crazy that I was like, either this dude becomes a star, which, as I pointed out, because I pretty much did the same thing you did, but on video, I pretty much said the only guy that was mediocre or below average that has turned into a star, at least in the last 15 years, is Victor Oladipo. And Victor Oladipo credits Russell Westbrook for his success. There's no Russell Westbrook. There's no MVP on the Kings. So when Willie says, yo, it's clicked for me, I'm in a different mindset, you know, I'm in something that I've never felt or done, that just sounds like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like, it's so, like, out there, and I'm glad he admits that he was wrong, but those are just words, bro. Actions speak louder than words, and yeah. Last time I checked, he's been below average his entire career. So if I had to bet on it, I would say no, he's not going to become a star, but he's definitely capable of being a guy that can average 10 points, grab 12 rebounds, but even then, that may be a little bit of a reach, but I do have hope for him because if in fact it does click for him, there is no reason why he shouldn't be at that level, because at 7 feet tall, with that size, athleticism, and speed, he pretty much can be Clint Capella, but I don't know if his heart's in it. I don't know that, so we'll see this year.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about Willie Cauley-Stein a lot, the both of us, whether it's on this podcast or on the Cowbell Kingdom podcast. Willie's always been such an interesting question mark for me. I love the fact that he speaks his mind and he's out there. It's great for us in the media, and you will pretty much know what he's thinking pretty much on a daily basis, which I personally enjoy in having conversations with him. I also think he gets a bad rep around the league as not necessarily the highest basketball IQ type guy, but you actually have a conversation with him and he pays attention, he cares about the game, he breaks it down, he understands the X's and O's. He just doesn't necessarily always make that as clear as he ought to. I think consistency is the big thing with Willie this year, and I'm hoping if he plays in a consistent run-and-gun system that he will be at his best. Remember how much praise we were throwing at Willie Cauley-Stein with his ability to run the floor when he was playing in a George Karl-type offense. I'm hoping he can get to that. I think a lot of his success this year relies on how involved he gets with both De'Aaron Fox and Bogdan Bogdanovic. We saw the Bogey-Willie Cauley-Stein connections last year, so he can be something. You said you'd bet on him not turning into that, but what is, I guess, an average level of what you would expect from Willie Cauley-Stein or want from Willie Cauley-Stein on a nightly basis?
No, well, I said I'm not going to bet on him becoming a star because that's how he's talking. At least that's how I took it when I listened to that interview with Doug Christie. Like, it's like he's seen all these epiphanies now, and like he's just about to turn into this, like, you know, this Karl-Anthony Towns type player.
Right.
And I just don't see it. You know what I mean? And maybe I took his words out of context. I don't think I did. But by how he's conveying his message, he definitely sounds like he is going to be the superstar player. And my only issue with that, and my issue that, you know, for the last year and a half is, if he approaches the game that way and he thinks he's going to be this great offensive talent, that's where things go wrong for him, because he doesn't have an identity yet. He doesn't know what his role is on the Kings. You and me know what his role should be, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. You know what I mean?
I'm feeling you. I understand. And that's where I think the consistency comes into play. And I would like to see, hopefully, the coaching staff is able to get to him and maybe even his own teammates. We heard De'Aaron Fox say that he wants to embrace more of a leadership role, Chris Paul-esque. And we know what good Chris Paul has done for both DeAndre Jordan and Clint Capela. So maybe De'Aaron Fox can get through to Willie Cauley-Stein and say, no, this is what we need from you. This is your role. You are not the number one scorer on this team, and you never really should have been. But this is what we need from you. We need to emphasize your strengths to be the best.
Well, that's what Willie said himself, too. He said, I'm putting in more work than all these guys, so now I can lead these guys. So if he's – that's what I'm saying. It scares me because now I feel like he's entitled to that. I'm the leader of this team because I feel like I'm putting in more work, and that's scary because, as you said, the leader should be De'Aaron Fox. So if, in fact, he's too hard-headed, then it may not work for Willie. I hope it does because, as you said, he does get a bad rep and he's fun to talk to because he will express his feelings all the time. And, he's so fun to talk to and he's so funny, right, off the record. And he'll always give you a good quote.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But, again, I hope he proves me wrong. Like, I want to be wrong and I hope he stays with the Kings for a long time. But, again, I don't know because of the way that he's talking, he sounds like he's going to be the next big thing. And I'm not sure that's how he should be approaching this entire situation.
Let's talk free agency. What do you think about the pickup of Nemanja Bjelica?
Love it. He's also another guy that may start on opening night. That's the type of move that Dave would make where he starts Bjelica at the four, spreads the floor out for Willie to maybe run more of that, you know, point center type thing that I don't want him to run. But to be fair, Dave has put Willie in those situations a lot last year. And maybe Willie can capitalize on all the room that he will have because Bjelica is a 40% shooter from beyond the arc. So we know there will be room for De'Aaron Fox to drive and do his thing. Especially for a guy like Bogey who runs a great pick and roll. So having a guy like that out there is only going to help all these guys. And you and me have always said this team needs a stretch four.
Yep.
We thought Scal might be that guy. He didn't really get the best of opportunities last year to prove that he's that guy. We kind of had that guy with Anthony Tolliver, but not really because he wasn't great defensively, and he was kind of slow in some regards. But so is Bjelica, but I think Bjelica is just a better shooter overall and just a better playmaker because his European style is going to mesh perfectly with Bogey.
And you talk about the former teammates as well. They clearly know each other's games from playing together in Europe. And what did Bjelica do last year for the Minnesota Timberwolves? He shot a lot of three-pointers, and he made a lot of three-pointers for the Timberwolves, which is exactly what I would like to see on this Kings team offensively going forward. How about the other pickup, Yogi Ferrell? Where do you expect him to fit in with this team? And does he get your nod over Frank Mason as Fox's backup?
As of right now, yes. Only because I've seen more from Yogi. I've been high on Yogi since he came out, man. I just thought his grit, he's the closest thing to Isaiah Thomas in terms of, like, height, grit. People always doubting him because he's a little guy, but definitely plays a lot bigger than his size. He's going to bring that toughness off the bench, and I feel very confident in Yogi being that backup to De'Aaron Fox. So, but what this really means is if Frank Mason really wants it, it's only going to make him better. Yep. Competition brings out the best out of everybody, and I love that they went out and they got a guy who's very similar to Frank Mason, but as of right now, I believe he's a little bit more advanced because he has more NBA experience. Mm-hmm. So I think as of right now, without watching them play or compete in training camp, he's definitely going to start at that backup role.
What about, I know you were just as disappointed as I was to see Garrett Temple get traded. Such a great locker room guy, just a great guy to interact with. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do with Jaren Jackson Jr. and what he can do for Jaren Jackson Jr. In Memphis. The Kings ultimately getting Ben McLemore was the main piece they got in return. So Ben's part two here in Sacramento. You and I were never too high on Ben. I personally don't think he's going to make this roster, but I'm surprised they haven't cut him yet. Your thoughts on Ben if he can find any kind of role or spot with this team?
I agree 100% with you. I don't think he's going to make the roster, but as of right now, there's no benefit in actually cutting him. So he may push some guys in practice because he is extremely athletic. And who knows, just the fact that he may have a chance that may put him against the wall and be like, you know what, I have to get myself together and play my best brand of basketball. And if he's playing at his best level, that may make guys like Justin Jackson uncomfortable and better for Justin to push himself to be like, hey, dude, I can't take anything for granted. I have to play my A game for me to stay and not go to Stockton because, you know, Justin Jackson, if he doesn't perform, he's a guy that may be on Stockton's roster this year, man. So definitely it doesn't make sense to cut him right now. But, you know, see what he has. At the end of the day, Ben McLemore is a veteran. Even though he still is extremely young. So let's see if he can push these other young wings on his roster.
Where are you at with Vlade and his job security? I know a lot of fans have overreacted, and I was very vocal against those that overreacted to Vlade not taking Luka Doncic and suggesting that Vlade needs to be fired, and are just hoping that these are his final days as the GM of the Sacramento Kings. But what is it going to take from the Kings next season for Vlade to keep his job, and what's your confidence level right now in him as your general manager?
For the first time in doubt, honestly, I'm still shocked, bro, that he didn't draft Luka Doncic. Honestly, man, I don't know what to say in terms of why he didn't, and it still doesn't make sense to me, but we'll see. I'm hoping for the best with Marvin Bagley. I'm hoping that he proves all the people that wanted Luka wrong, because I want the best for the Kings, not for Luka, not for Marvin. I want the best for this team, for the city, because I love the city. I love the team. And at the same time, you know, Vlade was a big part of this organization. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And if it pans out, it pans out. If not, well, a guy that they can look at, and I don't know if he ever would accept, would be David Griffin from the Cleveland Cavaliers, or ex-GM of the Cavs. And that's a guy that I would love to have on this organization.
I got to ask you about Buddy Hield, dude. I've been so open about my hype for Buddy Hield. I think the growth that he showed last year defensively and offensively, started the season a little rough in the starting lineup, came off the bench, really turned it on towards the end of the season, was easily the Kings' best shooter, someone that I'm hoping the Kings will make a center point of their offense from the perimeter consistently next year. I hope that he's starting at the two, although, again, we never know what Dave Joerger is going to be doing. One of the best three-point shooters in the NBA statistically throughout his last couple of years. Your thoughts overall on Buddy Hield and what leaps he can make building into next season? I've said that if he can add the ability to create his own shot, we could be talking about the most improved player in the NBA.
Yeah, we can be talking about Eric Gordon 2.0 from the Houston Rockets. And if we get Eric Gordon 2.0, the Kings will surprise a lot of teams this year, bro, because Eric Gordon was always really good. His only issue was staying healthy.
Injuries,
he finally found consistency with the Rockets. He didn't get injured, and his career is all of a sudden, you know, flipped around around the league, saying, you know what, this guy is legit. Like, this dude is the real deal. And Eric Gordon played a massive role on that Rockets team last season in getting that number one seed. So if we can see that type of improvement and that type of a style, which I think is very likely, then the Kings have a jewel of a player.
I've asked a lot of different people here, from fans to everybody that I've talked to on the podcast, about their definition of what a successful season is for the Kings next year. And I've gotten different answers all the time. Some people want to put win totals on it. I even put a poll out there on Twitter, and actually what ended up winning was people saying that the Kings find an established star, whether it's De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley, whoever. What to you is your definition of a successful season for the Kings next year?
Sure. I think finding a
a bona fide star, a star just in general, will definitely help this franchise move forward in the right direction. So, yeah, I don't want to put a win total out there because they may find a legit star and then still have 25 wins, right? But if that happens and they lose a bunch of close games, that's a positive, at least for me. Some fans will always put win totals because fans are impatient. That's just the nature of this game. That's how professional sports work. There will always be pressure on coaches, GMs, to get the best out of their guys, even if those guys are not very good. And as we saw last year, this team wasn't very good. But with a year under De'Aaron Fox's belt, I expect a lot more from him. Honestly, there should be a lot more pressure on De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley because, yeah, Bagley wasn't the number two pick, but let's not act like De'Aaron Fox wasn't the number five pick last year and one of the best drafts ever. So we definitely have to hold him accountable. And again, he plays the most important role on the floor, which is the point guard position. I expect a lot from him, and I'm hoping for the best, and I'm hoping that he steps it up and, you know, becomes a guy that can average 18 points, 10 dimes. So that's what I'm looking for.
And from the second he arrived too, Leo, we were all pegging him as the future centerpiece, the future leader of the Sacramento Kings team, and that hasn't changed. I want to end with this, man. Thank you so much for taking the time, but I love your opinions on DeMarcus Cousins. You never shy away from sharing your feelings on DeMarcus Cousins. Your thoughts on him going to the Golden State Warriors?
The best move that he could have done because he's not ready physically to take on a big contract. And with that said, nobody wanted to offer him a big contract aside from the Pelicans. So to me, it makes perfect sense. There's no pressure on him to come back right away. He can get healthy 1,000%, get in better shape. And once he's back, he can be himself, average 10 points, 12 rebounds a game for that team, win the championship, and then his stock rises once again. So he's still young enough to recover from this. And honestly, I hope and I wish him nothing but the best, bro. No hard feelings. And, you know, I think that they will win the championship again because that team is so damn good. And it's so unfair that they're so good. But just the fact that, and I was thinking, even if Steph Curry gets hurt or even KD, that team is still the best team in the NBA.
Easy.
So that's how crazy that is. And again, it's going to be fun to see the Tech Bros, Draymond and DeMarcus Cousins. And we'll see how it goes, especially when it comes to Sacramento, man. I'm excited.
Dude, the Warriors and Kings in the Golden 1 Center and the Lakers and the Kings in the Golden 1 Center this season are about to be legit. You and I will be out there for all of those games. Leo, I will also see you at training camp and at
Raider Nation, brother.
No. Don't be bringing up bad feelings right now. You know how low I am on Raider Nation. And if anybody needs to see that, just go to my Twitter account.
A's Nation then, bro.
Hell yeah.
Let's go. Raider in Oakland, man.
I'm in with A's.
They play in 13 minutes, bro. I was upset last night. I thought they should have won that game, and they just, you know, it slid from them. But so what do you think? You think if we play the Yankees in that playoff, in that one playoff game, are we good enough to beat them in New York? Or do we have to beat them and have that game hosted in Oakland?
You know, I go back and forth about this, honestly, and it's challenging. I want a playoff game in Oakland just to say that we had one because it would prove all the people wrong to shut up. The fans are going to show up in Oakland, and they'll sell that place out, and it'll be awesome. So I hope we get that. With the A's pitching, though, and their lack of a consistent go-to starter now that Sean Manaea is hurt, I question any playoff series how well they're going to do. I would prefer if the A's could catch the Astros and get a division series in a playoff wild card game. They're not favored at all, no matter who they play, just because of their pitching. But I also think no team in the MLB wants to play the A's in a series or in a one-game playoff right now because they're so damn hot offensively, and those bats can blow you up on any given night.
I agree. I think they have a fighting chance to beat anybody. And I do think it will be Yankees-A's because the damn Astros, man, I hate to say it, but that team's legit.
You're not catching them.
Once they start clicking, bro, it's hard. You know what I mean?
It's good talking to you, Leo. I look forward to touching base with you back in the Golden 1 Center when basketball returns, man. We're counting down the days.
All right, brother. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, be good. That is Leo Baez from Cowbell Kingdom. Check out his work and all their great work either on cowbellkingdom.com, all their great articles that they put out there, or you need to check out the Cowbell Kingdom YouTube channel. They do video content, in my opinion, better than anybody else here in Sacramento, getting you behind-the-scenes looks at the organization. Leo and his crew will take you pretty much anywhere you could possibly go in regards to the Sacramento Kings, so check that out. That is Leo Baez from Cowbell Kingdom. It's always great to have Leo Baez from Cowbell Kingdom on. Check out their great work that they do there all of next season. We'll definitely be having him on in the near future at the start of the regular season. They provide great training camp coverage as well. If you want to add a little nugget onto your training camp coverage on top of what we do here on the Locked On Kings podcast, we are going to be doing here on Locked On Kings an NBA 2K giveaway. We will let you know how you can enter that next week. But what I will tell you is it is going to involve social media and Twitter. So if you need to create a Twitter account, if you want a chance to win a copy of NBA 2K, you need to have a Twitter. So maybe set that up here in the remainder of this week. Next week, I will let you know and we'll start the contest, let you know how you can enter for a chance to win. And then the following week, I will choose a winner and let you know how you're going to get that prize and everything. So that is all coming up here in the following week of Locked On Kings. Also, more great interviews coming. Again, it's only a two podcast week this week. Just the Tuesday and the Thursday episodes because of the holiday. We are returning to normal Monday, Wednesday, Friday next week, and then in October at the start of the season going back to a podcast every single weekday. I look forward to doing that, having much more to cover. Please come back and return next week ready to hear more Kings news. Training camp getting closer and closer. Send any questions, comments that you may have to me at any time on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I'm getting emails daily from so many of you who listen to the podcast who are Kings fans that either want to be a part of the next Fans Only episode or who just want to talk and share their story and ask me questions, things like that. That is awesome. That is fantastic. I love that so much. Thank you for doing that. I soak that in and appreciate all of that and then some. I will be chatting with you on Monday, so look forward to that. Feel free to hit me up this weekend, opening weekend for the NFL. If you want to talk football, let's do it. I'm looking forward to it, man. Sports are back. We're entering my favorite time of the sports year, that fall. Those fall months, the September, October, with the start of football and then the start of basketball just around the corner. Of course, MLB playoffs as well. It's a good time to be a sports fan. Stay safe. Have yourself a good Friday and a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.